Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 22. I desire that we read from the beginning of this chapter 13 verses for the strengthening of our faith in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Let us bow down and unite our hearts in prayer to the Lord. O Thou Holy One, Thou All Gracious One, to Thee belong worship and praise, honor and glory. And we in our weak hearts, O Lord, desire to thank Thee for Thy great goodness and mercy, to praise Thy great and holy name for Thy love, that glorious and wonderful love Thou hast not contained within the borderlines of that heavenly kingdom. But Thou hast opened Thy heaven, O Lord, and Thou hast sent to us Thy Holy Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Beloved One, in whom Thou art well pleased. And so, Lord God Almighty, Thou King of glory has descended to this low earth. We had no strength, there was no power to break the bands of death, to open the doors of our prison, to destroy the power of darkness and death, all the plagues that would forever and ever plague our souls, all that we were able to achieve through our disobedience, O Lord. There was no one to deliver our souls from the depth of hell. And then, O Heavenly Father, Thou hast sent him, the desire of ages, the fulfillment of the prophecies of old, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundations of the world. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, how great is Thy goodness and Thy wisdom, O Lord. How glorious and how wonderful is that grace and love that Thou hast revealed. How mysterious are thy ways, O Heavenly Father, that on the cross thou hast condemned our sins and redeemed our souls. That by dying thou hast overcome death. By suffering the judgment that we have deserved, thou hast condemned sin. Thou hast punished unrighteousness, and thou hast delivered our souls from death everlasting. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, thus thou hast revealed the truth that has been sealed for so long. The mystery into which the angels desired to look into. O Heavenly Father, now we desire to thank thee. But we pray, Lord, as thou hast blessed the fields and the vineyards and the orchards of thy children of Israel, as thou hast multiplied their flocks, as thou hast prospered their nation, so that they could, O Lord, gather together and celebrate that Passover feast, heralding the coming of the Lamb of God that will take away that unmeasurable load of our sins. O thou Holy One, thou all gracious One, thou bless also our hearts, and thou multiply the fruits of thy Spirit, and thou, O Heavenly Father, bless us with that deep gratitude of the full awareness what thy goodness and grace has done for us, so that we can, by thy grace, guided by thy Holy Spirit, filled with that deepest gratitude and the highest reverence, that we can, O Heavenly Father, in our heart bow down with our face to the ground in awesome wonder, standing in admiration of our soul, of that glorious and great name of thine, Almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, suffering on the cross. From the peaks of that heavenly glory, all the way down to the bottom of bottomless, seeking the lost and bringing back what has been snatched away from thee by sin and transgression. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we see that we cannot understand all of that. We cannot grasp the enormous greatness of thy love, thy goodness and mercy, and that perfect divine justice of thine, fulfilling thy every commandment and satisfying the justice by judgment and glorifying the God of love by redemption. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee. But it's but nothing in comparison with the glory and honor that Thou art receiving in Thy heavenly kingdom. And yet, it is the desire of Thy fatherly heart, to be honored and glorified in the hearts that are as weak and as small as ours, yet purified, washed with the blood of the Savior. And included in that prayer that ascended from the heart and from the lips of the suffering and dying Savior, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. We pray, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that this weak and so imperfect offering of ours, our prayer and our thanksgiving, be pleasing unto Thee, that Thou indeed bless our souls with that gratitude and love for Thy great goodness and mercy. Lord God Almighty, our loving Heavenly Father, Thou purify us. Grant us pure and holy thinking, those spiritual affections and emotions, that we be indeed thankful for Thy great goodness and mercy, and that we rejoice in that grace that Thou hast given us, and that we also, Lord, in every prayer of Thine, may join our hearts and blend our souls in a true worship, worshiping Thee in spirit and in truth. That, O Heavenly Father, we may receive from Thee that spiritual circumcision of heart and mind and tongue, that we may speak with a new language, language of Thy truth, that we may, O Heavenly Father, cherish in our hearts the flame of Thy love, that love that has overcome hatred, that love that even in suffering, despised and rejected, did triumph over the powers of darkness and did break the chains of our slavery. Oh, grant us, Thy Lord, to walk in that newness of the life in Christ, in faith, unshaken, firmly grounded upon Thy holy word, with the flame of love that, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may be a continual offering of love and gratitude, of praise, honor and glory to Thy holy name. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, may
our days and the years of our pilgrimage resemble more and more the example of our Lord and Savior and those that followed closely, walking in the steps. The steps of our Redeemer marked with the drops of sweat and blood. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thou help us to understand and to value this precious ministry that Thou hast given us, to follow in the steps of Thine, to bear the burden of the cross, and daily to renew our strength from the strength that Thou givest by that Holy Spirit of Thine dwelling in our hearts, guiding and protecting our souls. Gracious Lord, may that word of Thine be blessed. May that glorious and wonderful name of Thine be exalted, magnified in our eyes, in our hearts, that the testimony of Thy truth may go forth, and those that seek Thee, that they may find Thee, and those that Thou art seeking out of the world, they may not be confused, not seeing Thy light in our midst. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thou watch over us and protect us. And Thou, Heavenly Father, as Thou hast spread Thy arms of love in the arms of the crucified Savior on the cross, embrace the souls that Thou hast redeemed and deliver the oppressed. And Thou, O Lord, encourage and strengthen and comfort those that are distressed. And Thou heal the sick. And Thou, O Lord, strengthen the weak. Thou give that perfect comfort and peace to those that are sad. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, raise the dead. Unite Thy flock in the fold of Thy grace, that there may be one flock, as Thou hast given us one shepherd, in whose name, O Lord, we offer this small and weak prayer and praise to Thy holy name. Thy name be blessed forever and ever. Amen. In our second reading, let us read from the verse number 14 to the verse number 23 from this chapter 22, Gospel according to Saint Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 14. Let us continue our reading with the help of the Lord. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof, until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the wine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying,
This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. This far I desire that we read in our second reading. Once again, beloved brethren and friends, with the help of our Heavenly Father, and yes, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I would like us to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the last days of his ministry, being the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the mankind, being that sacrifice offered for our redemption, being the great high priest, the only one to offer that sacrifice. Before the throne of mercy, before the throne of judgment, before the majesty and glory of the Heavenly Father, whose word our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has brought down to this earth to proclaim to the mankind and to confirm that indeed every unrighteousness, every omission and transgression of the Word of God, every disobedience of His will has to be condemned and punished. That indeed the reward for sin is death. Not necessarily the death of this body by separation of the body and soul or spirit, but ultimately the death of the soul, which is death everlasting. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ proved that fundamental truth, revealed in the old times in the prophecies, and also in the last days in the epistles of the apostles, that God is just and the Savior. And that is that mystery into which the angels desired to look into. The mystery that was sealed by the seven seals in the book, about which we read in the Revelation, that the Lamb that was slain received from the hand of the one that was sitting on the throne. The only one worthy to break those seals, open the book, and fulfill the will of him that gave the book, which is God the Father. We read here that the feast, which was established so many, many years ago. That last day of the children of Israel being slaves in Egypt, that night which separated the days of their slavery from the days of their exiting and going into the promised land. The feast of the Passover, when the Passover lamb should be killed and the blood of that lamb should mark the doorposts and the upper part of the door of the houses of these slaves in Egypt, and then through the blood of the Passover lamb they would walk out and leave the land of their slavery and led by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a pillar of light by night and under the protection of that shadow of His that followed them as a cloud by daytime. They walked out and they marched toward the Red Sea, toward the Promised Land. Again, that time of the year has come, and the disciples asked our Lord and Savior where to prepare the Passover. Now we read in the beginning of this chapter 22 that the priests, the chief priests and the scribes, the rulers in Jerusalem were looking, seeking an opportunity to murder our Lord Jesus Christ. Why they didn't go right ahead and do it? Straight ahead and commit that murder. They didn't try that because they feared the people. Why they didn't just leave him alone? Because they feared the people. See, they were not battling for the word of God, but for the servitude of the people. They wanted the people to believe the priests and the scribes, not the word of God. Why? Well, the chief priests and the scribes controlled the temple. And the people come to the temple to offer sacrifices, to make covenants. The people come to the temple to seek God's mercy. And the chief priests used that opportunity for earthly gain. They were selling sacrifices. They were exchanging money. There was temple money that was good for sacrifices, and there was Roman money that was good on the market in the world. So they had their income. They also enjoyed that so-called privilege of being in power, being the rulers. They enjoyed their vanity and pride, and that vanity and pride is purchased by another kind of money, which is called sin, lies, deception. They were, the priests and the scribes, they were the soldiers of Satan. He was their captain, their God. Our Lord and Savior just plainly explained that when he talked to the Hebrews, when they claimed that their father is Abraham. Then later on they say that God is their father. And finally the Lord told them that they're the children of the devil. Why? Because they do what the devil himself did from the beginning. They rebel against the word of God. They hate They desire to murder. They use lies. All the attributes, all the characteristics of Satan. So obviously, he is their God. He is their father. So Satan is looking for an opportunity to silence the voice of God's truth. And he has no power to do that until it be given him. How is the power given to Satan in this case? By the betrayal of one among the 12. We read here that during that period of time, during that Passover feast, Satan at one moment entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, and Judas was one of the 12 disciples. And so Judas went his way. You see, he's not going on the way of righteousness anymore. He's going on his own way. And he communed with the chief priests and captains how he, Judas, might betray him, the Lord, unto them, the priests and the captains of the temple soldiers. And they were glad. You see, what is the rejoicing of Satan? Not in righteousness. Righteousness is resented, hated by Satan. Satan is rejoicing in evil. They were glad and they covenanted to give him money. What do we see, beloved? The Passover feast was the time of making covenants, renewing the covenant with the Lord, renewing that promise of the Father that we will be the Lord's people and the Lord is going to be our God. So, while the faithful ones and even the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with his disciples is going to remind them of that covenant, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to close that Old Testament and open the New Testament, he's going to establish a new feast in his blood, the fulfillment of the first feast that was with the blood of the Passover lamb. At the same time, another covenant, a covenant of darkness and evil, a covenant of murder and lies, is going to be made by the high priests and the scribes and the captains of the temple. You see, they were glad and they covenanted to give Judas money. See, Satan is promising reward to those that serve him. In the end, we will see what happened to that reward. It did not help Judas at all. With the 30 pieces of silver that Judas received for betraying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for shedding, as he said himself, innocent blood, Judas was not able to redeem his own soul and to keep his blood from being shed. So, if the reward that Satan promised and gave to Judas is worthless, how awful has to be the rage of Satan and his vengeance. But most of all, how great and terrible is going to be the reward that he himself is going to receive in the end. So, Judas promised, that was his part of this covenant, he promised to betray the Lord and to help the priests and the captains to attack the Lord, to somehow arrest him in the absence of the multitude. Again, these leaders had fear from the people. And so came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And the Lord sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat the Passover." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" What do we see here? The Lord is giving us commandments to do His will. And then when we ask how to do His will, then He gives us the instruction. He said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in." How interesting. The disciples went into the city according to this instruction. And we don't know how many people were there in the city. They were not looking for any other. They looked for a man that is bearing a pitcher of water. Well, what if there were many people bearing some vessels with water? It did not happen. You see, when the Lord gives the instruction, that instruction is sufficient and it's very precise, and the circumstances have to submit to the will of God. And when they went into the city, there was only one man they could see bearing a vessel with water, and they followed that man. And probably there were many other people, maybe. Yet they did follow this man, and they came into the house, and there they asked for the head of the household, the good man of the house. And they told him, "The master saith unto thee." You see, they are bringing the word from the master. "Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?" What do we see here? There must have been other disciples of the Lord, other than the 12, other than those that followed him traveling on foot from city to city, from village to town and so on, and proclaiming the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There were others that were looking forward to the fulfillment of the old prophecies, the others that did believe that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the Savior, is the one that is sent by the Heavenly Father. So this man showed to the two disciples, and the two were Peter and John. One that was perhaps the oldest one, and if not, he was the most outstanding one, one that was the quickest to respond to the questions of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one that was so resolved to follow the Lord no matter what. And with him, the Lord sent the youngest one among the disciples. Very interesting combination. The two are going to prepare the room for celebrating the Passover feast, the last one. But perhaps we should look into that and consider that in preparing that room, no one is excluded, from the eldest to the youngest. So they did go and they did prepare. They made ready the Passover, and when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "What desire I have desired, to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. What kind of a style of speech is this? With desire I have desired. It was a strong desire. The Lord Jesus Christ was looking forward to this moment to sit down with his disciples when their hearts will be open to the Word of God, when they will in their mind recall the great and wonderful work of our Lord in leading his people out of the land of Egypt into the promised land. And so they are sitting around this table, perhaps not in the way that we do it nowadays. Each people and time and civilization has their customs and their way and style of living. Yet they were together, and the table was prepared, and the Lord is there with his disciples, and he is telling them, I desired so much to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. See, this Passover is overshadowed with the cross, with the soon suffering of our Lord and Savior on the cross. And then he says to them, for I say unto you, I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. An interesting thing. The Lord is closing the last page of the book of the Old Testament. Everything is going to be, is being fulfilled, and very soon is going to be finished. He's not going to eat that Passover. This perhaps was third Passover that he ate together with his disciples in this same city, Jerusalem, on the hills of Zion. And he says that he will not eat anymore. This is the last one before he suffers, before he fulfills the significance, the prophecy of this Passover. And then he says, until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. I wonder about these words. Perhaps this is referring to that glorious and wonderful feast in heaven, in that perfect glory, joy, and peace, when the bride of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to be united with him forever through that wonderful wedding feast. Perhaps so. Or maybe that the Passover feast is fulfilled in a way whenever the children of the New Testament, the redeemed ones, are celebrating the Lord's Supper. The Passover is fulfilled there. The Lamb of God has come and shed his blood, and he said, this is my blood, this is my body. Perhaps that Passover feast did not start in Egypt that last night. I don't know. But sometimes I think, beloved, maybe the first Passover blood was shed just before the Lord gave to Adam and Eve those garments of skin. Perhaps it was heralding the coming of the Lamb of God when Abel offered the sacrifice that God himself had respect toward. Could it be that this word of God is